going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
NYYST. Hello. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance because they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Because you play a roulette with each step. I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Because we know who we are. We know we top tier. Because all the hate that you bring, we know it stops there. I'm taking off like a rocket here and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit.
Welcome back. This is episode 459 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
Feels good to be live once again. It's been about 2 weeks since we've been live here on NYYU, but hopefully you haven't missed any shows because we've been pumping them out on your favorite podcast platform. So as we get started tonight, we want to remind you once again to please subscribe to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss anything from Sem and I throughout the course of the season. We want to say thank you to everybody for being live here in the chat tonight. We're gonna get it going real soon. And if you're a fan of Anthony Volpe, you might not like me, but thanks for being here live tonight on Thursday night. And please subscribe to NYYU and like this video. And if you haven't done so already, stick your head out your window and say, tell everybody in your neighborhood that NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Sem, how are you?
I am wonderful, Christian. How are you?
Did I ask you that already?
I don't know. No.
So we've only been on air for 2 minutes, so if I ask you the same question twice in 2 minutes, you could tell what type of show we're going to have tonight. Uncle Dom, what's up, my friend? great seeing you out at the Audi Club. I don't know. We probably were on since then. I don't remember. They say that the days are long, but the years are short. That's what they say, right?
I don't know. Do they?
That's an expression. You didn't hear that one?
No, you're too old. That's why you know it.
Oh, shit. How do you think I got here? The years are short.
I'm too hip to know that shit.
No, yeah, okay. You need a new hip.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're here on an off day, the first Yankee off day in 13 days. The Yankees, I think, what did they go? 8-5 in these 13 games? So they're sitting at 15-10 right now. At the top of the American League East, which after 25 games, I don't think you can complain too much about that. the Yankees managed to salvage the final game of the series against Cleveland. So talking to Pete before we signed on here, it was just a really weird series because of the start times to kind of get into this series. You're so used to the game starting at 7 o'clock that when they start at 6, it kind of interrupts the flow of your day. I'm usually getting ready to eat dinner at that time. You know, so you're in the middle of like doing 8 different things, especially anybody that has kids know, is that you have to feed them and get them situated before you eat yourself, and also trying to watch a baseball game at the same time. And then the dog wants to eat. It's just a whole lot going on. And then on Monday, by the time I actually got settled, Clark Schmidt had Schmidt it all over the mound. The Yankees ended up losing that game. Then Tuesday, you know, they didn't really score. They had that sloppy inning. And then Anthony Volpe and his atrocities reared themselves in the 8th inning when he strikes out in a key spot there. That was really the Yankees' last scoring opportunity, because then in the 9th inning of that game, they acted like they had somewhere to be at 8:45 with the way those at-bats went down. And then yesterday, the Yankees did enough to win a baseball game. Carlos Rodon, I mean, I got to give Carlos Rodon a lot of credit. You guys know that I'm not Carlos Rodon's biggest fan. Excuse me. But he has really stepped up in these last two games here. The Yankees in Tampa were desperate for somebody to go out there and give them length on that Friday night, especially after Will Warren gave them just 5 outs and they were really deep into that bullpen the night before. And he went out there and he threw 6 scoreless innings and he was really good. And you got to give him, he says, you know, I'll give him credit when credit is due to Carlos Rodon. And I said, hey, you know what? That's exactly what the Yankees needed. And then yesterday, the Yankees can't get swept in Cleveland. I mean, is it the end of the world if they do? No, but you want to end this 13-game stretch with a win, get on the plane feeling good about things. And he went out there, and he pitched really well yesterday. 1 earned run over 7 innings, 8 Ks. I mean, the one thing that is bothering the life out of me with him is he walks too many people. But the good thing about Carlos Rodon over the last 2 games is that those walks haven't come back to hurt him, because he hasn't made the one big mistake like he did in that game against San Francisco to Lee, it was, right? Am I getting his name right? The left.
I don't know. I don't know what his name is. I just know what he looks like.
So after we came on here and we railed him and I said a lot of mean things about him, and Ashley Rodon called me personally and said, you're being too mean to Carlos. He went out there and he's really pitched well. He's allowed 0 earned runs over his last 13 innings and his last 2 starts, 2 wins for the Yankees. And this is exactly what the New York Yankees need. The New York Yankees need Carlos Rodon to be the guy that's been on the mound at George M. Steinbrenner Field on last week, and they need him to be the same guy that he was on the mound in Cleveland, because right now this rotation is hit or miss. Clark Schmidt, I'm not going to make too big a deal over what happened on Monday. He's still working his way back. You got to give a little bit of time to these guys, especially when they've had no spring training and they're trying to get back into the flow of the season. Is this something you want to see out of Clark Schmidt? No, obviously not, but I can't get wild about his outing on Monday night. And Carlos Carrasco is basically one good start, one bad start, one good start, one bad start, which from Carlos Carrasco, I think you take that. If you're about 50% good starts, 50% bad starts from him, you're probably going to take it there. And then you're pretty much in the same boat with Will Warren, which Will Warren gave you 5 outs his last start, and then he gave up 2 runs in 5 innings in his he gave you 5 outs 2 starts ago in Tampa, and then he gives you 2 runs over 5 innings in his last start, which again is something you'll take every time from Will Warren. So he's been a little bit uneven. What you need is the constants in this rotation. And Max Fried, Gerrit Cole is the ace that has my heart. Max Fried is the ace that is going to steal my heart. I am absolutely in love with Max Fried. This guy put his balls on the mound on Sunday after the Yankees had that atrocious loss on Saturday when Devin Williams couldn't hold a 4-run lead. Max Fried took the mound on Easter Sunday and said, listen, we're not losing today. He was brilliant. He gave up 2 hits over 7 2/3 innings. It's one of the best regular season pitching performances I've seen out of this team in a long time. probably since Gerrit Cole finished that Cy Young year off with a shutout. He was outstanding. It's really bizarre how he lost a no-hitter. If you're telling me that that's really a hit, I'm not going to argue with you because it was, but you can't score a hit two innings later in between innings when the guy's throwing a no-hitter into the eighth inning. That's what you can't do. But Max Fried was brilliant once again, worth every single penny the New York Yankees are paying him through the first month of the season here. And I want to say this, that Max Fried was not actually plan B. Max Fried was plan C. The Yankees' plan B was originally Willie Adames and Blake Snell. Okay. Juan Soto took too long to sign his deal with the Mets. The Yankees lost out on Snell and Willie Adames, right? So they went elsewhere. They wanted to sign before the Yankees were ready to make commitments. What a blessing that turned out to be. Not a blessing we don't have Juan Soto, a blessing that he took his sweet-ass time, because if we would have had Blake Snell, who the Dodgers don't even know when this guy's going to get back on a mound right now, instead of Max Fried, I don't know what this rotation looks like, and I don't know what the Yankees season looks like right now.
Yeah. Rodon, you know, putting together two starts like that back-to-back is it makes you feel much better about it. You know, then he does go and have a game where he gives it up and he gives up that big hit, you know, it's a little bit more forgivable. But again, yesterday I didn't get to watch so much. I was driving when the game started, but I was listening to it. I was watching it when I could. And it seemed like, again, like, you know, he settled down towards like the third inning. Maybe he really started getting on fire, and it's just, you know, become smooth sailing for him almost after that. You know, it's a good thing to see that Max Fried is just an animal. I was watching the entire game. I was out to eat at a fancy restaurant. I had the game on the table. Max Fried was filthy on Easter. Absolutely filthy. And it was a pleasure to watch. Things just seem to be like maybe coming together a little bit. Clark Schmidt, you can't really get, you know, you said you can't get after him too much. He's just coming back. Let him get into the swing of things, see where he ends up. Will Warren, you know, it's not, I'm not so doom and gloom today as I was a week ago.
If you want to say to me now, do you trust Carlos Rodon every time he takes the mound? No,
absolutely not.
I will not do that to myself. Because if I do that, he's going to go all over the mound. And I don't want to do that to myself. I don't want to do that to anybody watching the Yankees, rooting for the Yankees. So let me go through the rest of the season not trusting him and then him proving me wrong. Okay, let's go through the season like that. Because I am so happy with the way he's performed in these last two starts, but it's something that's got to carry on now throughout the course of this season. We've said this on the show before, and I'm going to say it again, because now maybe after he had that stretch of a couple of bad starts there where we were really starting to doubt this guy, that maybe now something's clicking with him, that he has to understand that he's not the ace. He wasn't brought here to be the ace. He wasn't even brought, now that Gerrit Cole is out, no one expected him to be the ace. But what he needs to be is like Tango and Cash. Like, who was, I forget, which one was Stallone?
I don't know. Which movie? What?
Tango and Cash.
I never watched it.
Okay. I forget which one, but whoever the Kurt Russell character is, like if Max Fried is Stallone, he's Kurt Russell, right? Just like in Lethal Weapon, Max Fried is Mel Gibson. He needs to be Danny Glover, okay? Just like in the other guys, Max Fried is Mark Wahlberg. He needs to be Will Ferrell, okay? He's got to be the number two to the number one here. He's got to be the second in command here and really take charge of things and be a guy that you have, you know. Will I ever fully trust him? I don't know, man. But if we're getting to a point now where he's keeping up with Max Fried, that is the type of guy that we need to see on the mound every fifth day, where now you've eliminated one question mark. You know you got Max Fried. You know you got Carlos Rodon. And then if you go out there and get somebody at the deadline, now you got a rotation that you can look forward to putting out there in October, with potentially Luis Gil coming back later on in the season, or Clark Schmidt figuring out, you know, getting healthy and getting things going. This is all about Carlos Rodon, that he is such an important piece to the fortunes of the New York Yankees in 2025, that you don't have Gerrit Cole and you have injury question marks about Gil and what and when Schmidt rounds back into form, that you can eliminate that by him being the guy we all thought we signed it after the 2022 season. And these last two starts with the Yankees kind of had their backs against the wall and both of these starts in certain different ways is very encouraging to me. And I need that out of him.
Well, you need Carlos Rodon to be productive, because that's when it gets closer to the trade deadline, that's what keeps it competitive. If Carlos Rodon's not producing and we're, you know, you got to fight from behind, you're digging into your bullpen and all that, by the time you get to the postseason, you're going to be gassed. Carlos Rodon needs to pitch well, get deep into games. It's every pitcher needs to do that. But Carlos Rodon isn't every pitcher. He was a big ticket item that we went out and we got, and he needs to produce. Is this the pitcher that they went out and they got when they signed him? I believe so. This is who they expected, and this is what we need to expect from him going forward. Do I trust that he's going to do that? No, not one bit. But like you said, I would rather be surprised than to go out there and be like, oh, Carlos Rodon is doing great. He's the greatest pitcher ever, and then look like an asshole, you know? And skepticism. I'm going to be very skeptical of him. He's going to come up, and then you can't let me down. That's all. But like the way I really do feel about it is, if Carlos Rodon doesn't give it up in the very first or second inning, I get more confident as the game goes on with him. It just seems to be his thing. I know that his stats say the same thing. But you could see, you watch it, he almost settles down, then he gets more fired up at the end of the innings. Big outs, he's more enthusiastic when he's walking off the mound. It's nice to see things like that.
Well, he generally does give it up by the second inning if he's going to have a bad start. It's usually, you know, it's very rare that he has that blow up later in the game. So if he does get through the first three innings, you can start to feel a little bit better. And I think he feels more confident as he gets past that point also.
Yeah, you usually feel like the opposite way. Like, okay, this guy's getting tired. Third time through the lineup, what's going to happen here? And I feel it's the reverse with Rodon.
So they, Victor in the chat him. Said that Sly was Tango. See, I'm the Stallone guy. I should know that. But that was like one movie that I seen it, but I never really like, you know, it's not one of my favorites. So, okay.
Tango is Stallone, Cash is Kurt Russell, and Kurt Russell. I was about 1.5 when that movie came out.
So I was 4.
Yep.
Wow. Did the Jaguars just screw the Giants? Oh boy, they just moved up to 2. I don't know. So if you're in the chat tonight, let me know what the Giants ended up doing here. Okay, I need something else to get mad about.
When did the Giants are 3?
3. The Jaguars just traded to move up to the second pick. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Yankees pitching is what, when I look at this season and what's really truly going to hold the Yankees back, I feel like it's their starting pitching. And right now, if Carlos Rodon can establish himself as somebody that we can believe in, I feel a lot better about where the Yankees can go this year.
He's an important piece of the puzzle. He's not the main guy, but he's, like you said, he's the number two piece. He needs to. You can't have a shitty number two. But he needs to play to his potential. We know he has it. We know he can do it, and that's, I think, why we get so aggravated with him, because he goes out and it's usually something. It's very frustrating, but the last two starts seem pretty promising, so. I like watching him pitch. I haven't seen him in person yet this year, but I'm hoping that he could get it together.
I'm nervous. The Giants are on the clock here. Oh boy.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So... yeah, well, you know what? So let's get to some nice things about the New York Yankees before we get to kind of the main event of the show here, and that's the Yankees shortstop. I got to say, man, I, for one, did not think that Paul Goldschmidt had this in him.
Oh, he's nasty.
Paul Goldschmidt has just been a joy to Jaguars drafted Travis Hunter, which I didn't really think the Giants should or were going to draft him anyway. So let's see what happens here. Paul Goldschmidt, this is insane. This is really insane. That you want to know how good Aaron Judge has been this year? That Paul Goldschmidt with a batting average of what? It's 380? Is he hitting
382.
Paul Goldschmidt with a batting average of 382 is second by over 20 points.
Yeah. He's 5-for-3 yesterday with 2 RBIs.
You mean 3-for-5?
3-for-5, yeah, I'm sorry. I think I'm dyslexic.
You might be.
I do it a lot, and I think I'm just dyslexic.
But yes. Go ahead. What were you
saying? I was 3-for-5 yesterday with 2 RBIs. The guy comes up and he's almost becoming, like, I'm not running across the room to watch it like I do with Judge, but like he's becoming like a I need to watch what he's going to do.
What he's done that I've loved so much is that he's only got one home run in the season, but it doesn't matter. You know, they'll come, right? I'm sure he'll run into some home runs as the weather gets warmer and if that's what he's really trying to do. But if you watch this guy, and then you watch some of the other guys in this lineup, why aren't people sitting under the Paul Goldschmidt learning tree right now and just recognizing, I have to get on base. That's all I have to do. Paul Goldschmidt is a guy that's going up there looking for openings in the field. He's not looking to jerk one and try to hit it over the fence. He's not, you know, selling out to try to pull a ball. He's looking for an opening somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, that's really refreshing to watch. A guy that understands how it takes, what it takes to win baseball games. And he is the type of guy that's going up there looking for any type of, it's like he's surveying the entire field and saying, let's see where this guy, I'll just dump this right here. Or let's see where the shortstop is. I got this hole right here. Boom. How many guys are actually going up there doing that? What an approach. People throw around the word approach, and I don't think half the people that throw that word around really know what it means. Watch Paul Goldschmidt tomorrow. The guy's got an approach. He's going up there with a plan of what he's trying to do. You want to say Jazz Chisholm has a plan? Jazz Chisholm's plan is to hit the ball 450 feet, and that plan sucked. Yeah. Okay? Paul Goldschmidt is looking around the field and looking around and saying, this is where, let me try to dump this ball here. Let me try to smack this ball here. I need to get on base and let the other guy, you know, he was a former MVP. He's an RBI guy, but maybe that's not who he is anymore. And that's fine. If you're going to hit 380, I don't care. Get on base. Do what you got to do. What I would like to see the Yankees do, if that's going to be his approach at the plate and not be a run producer like he used to be, is bat him in front of Aaron Judge. I think that's a smarter thing to do. And you and I talked about this on our last episode, that right now the top three in the lineup should be Ben Rice, Paul Goldschmidt. I'm sorry, it should be Goldschmidt, Rice, and Judge, because you want to go right, you want to go right, left, right. So you should go Goldie 1, Rice 2, and Judge 3 to maximize it. And I can't believe we're saying this again. It's like the Trent Grisham, congratulations. He was on the paternity list, so he's a new dad. It's like the offense, you know. It's like we really need Trent Grisham. That they bat, like after we talked about who the top four in the lineup should be, the Yankees batted Trent 1. I wouldn't personally do that because he's been hitting for more power, that I like him behind Judge. But your top four, in my opinion, should be Goldie, Rice, Judge, Trent, and figure it out.
No, absolutely. No, it's Goldie's going up with the perfect game plan. What do you want to call? I can't see the Lord's words are leaving my brain today, and I think I'm just having trouble talking. Situational hitting. You know, they keep talking about it, and he that's what he's doing. He's not going up there. He's not trying to steal the spotlight. He's not trying to break any records. The guy's just trying to get on base. He's got guys on in front of him. He's trying to get, you know, bring him in, get him home and all that. And it's what you need to do. It's small ball. It's not home run or bust with Goldschmidt. And it's exciting to watch. I don't need him going up there trying to hit home runs every time. It doesn't bother me. I don't need that in my life. You know what I'm saying? That's not something that draws me into baseball. I almost prefer, you know, the way that Goldschmidt's playing. It adds a little bit more excitement. You know, I don't, you know, there's people actually running the bases, and it's nice to watch. It's like you said, it's refreshing, because the Yankees have been home run or bust for the past few years. All power hitting, and you know, it's just, you know, putting solid contact on the balls, and he's getting on base. You can't ask for anything more than what he's doing.
The guys in the chat are throwing around the term professional hitter. That's exactly what Paul Goldschmidt is. He's a professional hitter. He looks like the third Winklevoss twin, okay, but he is a professional hitter. This guy has been such a breath of fresh air, and especially I was so stunned by this signing. I was just like, this is the Yankees on the cheap again, not wanting to go over the luxury tax. They're better off, blah, blah, blah. And man, I could, so far through 25 games, I couldn't have been more wrong. And I'm happy to be wrong because this guy is just fit in seamlessly into this team. He plays a great first base. I'm loving everything we've seen out of Paul Goldschmidt so far. Conversely, how high I was on Cody Bellinger is about how high Cody Bellinger looks all the time, and he's not playing. I mean, he's just been dreadful. I don't know what it is with him. He's got to snap out of it because the Yankees can really use that lefty power, especially at home. That is, you know, he's just been lost out there. It looks like him too with the big swing, and he's just trying to pull everything, and he seems like he can't catch up to a fastball. I don't know. That's just the way it looks like to me. It's like we need more out of Cody Bellinger. We need more out of Jazz Chisholm. I mean, Jazz Chisholm, that home run that he hit in Cleveland the other night, where is that guy all the time? Where is that guy using his hands and his power to hit a home run instead of trying to corkscrew himself in the ground, swinging for the fences every time? The Yankees were down, I think that made it 5-4, that home run. But it wasn't even about making the score close. It was about how he swung at that ball, where he used his hands and he used his natural ability. And it just, instead of just trying to be friggin', you know, the superhero all the time and thinking that you have to hit home runs. I say this all the time about Jazz. He is talented enough, and especially playing at Yankee Stadium, he will luck himself into 25 home runs this season. But we don't need that. That's not his role on the team. He's not getting on base. He's not having productive at-bats. And the Yankees are consistently batting him right around where Aaron Judge is. You know, you can't have that in a lineup. This lineup construction is whack, okay? Because if you give me my top four, okay, I won't argue with you because I don't know where you go after that, okay? Because Jazz has been terrible. Cody's been terrible. Wells seems like he might be having a pulse here lately, but he hasn't been good. Cabrera, I'm not touching him. He wants to play, he bats ninth. Okay, we're not putting him in a better position than that. Okay. Who am I missing here? The shortstop, I don't want to talk
Dominguez.
And then even Dominguez, like, it seems like he has a couple games where he seems like he's coming along, and then he goes on a 2-for-20. And then he had a couple hits in his last game. So he has been inconsistent as well. There's outside of those top four guys that I mentioned, then you have the other half of his lineup where it's just like, who bats fifth? Who bats sixth? So it's like, okay, do you want to argue Jazz and Volpe are fifth and sixth? You could, because they've been terrible, but who's going to do it?
Yeah, and that's going to be the big problem too. Like, you know, those first four, and then when you talk about Stanton coming back, I think it makes it even more of a problem with what you're going to do with Ben Rice, everyone says. Because realistically, you'd want to take one of the other five out of the lineup, but you really can't. Because he's gonna be the DH. So then, what are you gonna put Rice on first? Then you could take Goldschmidt out. Are you gonna put? I mean, I guess you could put Rice as catcher. I mean, I really don't know how good of a, you know, we've seen him, but we personally saw him play catcher at Double A. I don't know how well, you know, but can you do that to Austin Wells? It just creates a problem now. It's like Abdul, you need those Carter. Four guys.
Abdul Carter goes third to my New York Football Giants. So I'm okay with that. I didn't want them taking Shador, to be honest with you.
Shador.
So I'm okay with that. If you just to get off on a little draft talk here, if you really look at how the Giants won those two Super Bowls, it was with the defensive line. So, I mean, you want to go with Sexy Dexy and Tibbs and Burns and now Abdul Carter, I'm okay with that. I really am. Instead of reaching at three for a quarterback, especially in a weak quarterback class, this is probably as good of a pick as the Giants could have made in this spot.
I haven't watched football pretty much at all lately, but did they pick up Russell Wilson's going to be their starting quarterback?
Yes.
New York Yankee.
That's former New York Yankee Russell Wilson. See? Thank you for tying it back in here.
I'm good for something.
But so, we'll go ahead.
No, it's just you're watching these other five guys are pissing. I'm not Dominguez. I'm not upset with at all. I'm not anything on him. I don't even have an opinion right now. I think he just needs to work his stuff out. Volpe and Jazz are my two biggest gripes. They really, really, really have a problem. Bellinger is just ass, and he looks like he's washed. I said on the last show, it really does seem like we got finessed by the Cubs. Cody Petit
he didn't even make the team.
You know, it's just like, okay, why would they trade away Cody? Is there something that we don't know? Is the guy just baked out of his mind? Like, what's going on?
The Cubs clearly are not in a tank mode. They went out there and get Kyle Tucker, and they beat the Dodgers in the series this week. So they're definitely looking to make moves this year.
So why get rid of Bellinger? I think that there must have been something to it.
The Yankees needed to go and get Cody Bellinger, though. We can agree on that. They had to get him. I mean, what was that? What else offensively was really out there for them to do? If you look at who was on the free agent market, look at who was traded, and then tell me what the Yankees should have done. Don't say Kyle Tucker instead of getting Cody Bellinger.
There's nobody out there. I mean,
market dictates a lot of what happens.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight, I would have just – you want to judge back in – oh, see. What would they have done?
And yes, that was another thing. The Yankees – okay, so you know, Anthony Santander's having a crappy start to his season with the Jays. He's not a good defensive outfielder, and you would have had to give him a lot of money and put him in a corner. And the Yankees really – if there's anything the Yankees will admit to you, it's that losing Juan Soto was the best thing for the longevity of Aaron Judge in the terms of they did not want him playing center field anymore. They would have done it. They would have absolutely done it for Juan Soto to be part of his team for the next 15 years. And Judge would have done it too. But
and you need it.
Let's be honest here. There's nobody inside that organization that is upset that Aaron Judge got moved out of center field.
No, we all wanted him back and right. And if you know what, half the problem is too, is like, listen, no one expected Grisham to play the way he's playing, or otherwise you wouldn't have needed Cody Bellinger. That's really the problem there. Now, is that because he didn't get enough playing time last year, or is he just shitty?
Well, I mean, combination of both. We've read Trent Grisham's stats here. I mean, he hit 190 with the Padres the year previous. So, it's not – I can see why the Yankees didn't really give him a run. Now that they kind of are giving him a little bit of a run, is this a Linsanity run, or maybe is this who Trent Grisham is? What I'm going to tell you this right now is if he hits 310 and hits 25, 30 home runs this year, you let him walk out the door because he's on a free – he's a free agent at the end of the year. Don't buy fool's gold with Trent Grisham. I'm going to say here. Let him ball out, earn that money from somebody else. And then if somebody else turns out to be right, then on Trent Grisham, you take that risk because, you know, really we don't need it. I don't want to say Trent Grisham's Jacoby Ellsbury. Jacoby Ellsbury turned one career year into $150 million from the Yankees. We don't need to have that same situation with Trent Grisham.
No. It'll be like a whole DJ LeMahieu situation. But I mean, like, listen, if they didn't get him either, like what would have happened? You might have seen Dominguez in center field. I could see them trying to push through the season with Cabrera in left field because they'd be stubborn. And then they could have put Peraza at third. But like, I don't know. I think there could have been other things done. I don't really know.
What, bring back Alex Verdugo? I mean, that was probably something on the table.
No, I would have much rather had Cabrera playing left field over Alex Verdugo. But, I mean, then you would have gotten Dominguez in his natural position. Maybe that would have sped things up with him a little bit.
I don't know. I don't really think Dominguez has really been that bad out in left field. I think it's kind of been overblown here.
No, I think he's definitely been putting it together. The other day, I think maybe he could have made that one play on the ball that went foul. But other than that, I think he's been pretty good. I have no worries about him.
So I got to find my Ben Rice basketball jersey that we got at the game last year. I don't know what I ended up doing with it. So I got to bust that out now that the weather's warmer.
My Ben Rice. I got two of them. I gave one to my brother.
So, I mean, I've loved Ben Rice. I'm so happy that he's gotten off to the start that he's gotten off on. But Giancarlo Stanton is taking live BP now as he begins his process back to the Yankees. And I think a lot of us are starting to think that Memorial Day could be a realistic time frame for him. The problem with Ben Rice is just like the problem with Trent Grisham and these guys that need to be in the lineup every day. They don't play third base.
Yeah. That's the problem.
If Giancarlo Stanton is healthy, what do you do? You put him on the bench? You tell G he's a bench player now? G only plays against lefties? I mean, what do you do? I mean, again, this is one of those things where we said, who comes out of the rotation? And then all of a sudden, Marcus Stroman with knee hurts. So we didn't have to worry about it. You know, again, we guys still got a couple weeks to go, but it's starting to become a conversation here. You can't take Ben Rice out of the lineup right now. You absolutely can't. But you also can't tell Giancarlo Stanton, hey, pal, you know, thanks for everything. Sit on the bench. I don't think the Yankees are going to do that either. You know, maybe you start to put a little bit of pressure on Austin Wells. Like, hey, oh, you're not going to hit. You know, maybe we can see what Ben Rice is doing behind the plate. I mean, our backup catcher right now is an Uber driver.
Yeah, and Escara could take an Uber back home.
You know, it's a great story, but I don't need great stories. I need winning ball players. I need guys that are going to help the Yankees get back to the World Series this year. And J.C. Escara is a backup catcher. It's what he is. I know a lot of people cried when he called his mom. It was emotional. Does emotion, does that crying to your mom on the telephone win baseball games?
It might.
Has it? Has it so far?
No, not at all. No, yeah, that's a... I think that's the most reasonable thing to do. Look, they say that Ben Rice keeps putting on his catching gear and he's practicing as catcher.
That's
still.
Another
and
thing,
all that
he's
stuff.
He can also play first base. You can't take Paul Goldschmidt. I mean,
no,
Paul
you can't. So I think the only thing
the problem
you can really
is
do...
that you have four outfielders. None. You have two DHs. You want all six of them in the lineup. You have a hole at third base. Nobody can play third base.
It's like, you know, we're like, oh, it's a good problem to have, you know, Ben Rice and Giancarlo. But it's really not at the moment. You know, it becomes a problem. But I would try him. I, you know, J.C. Escara, bye-bye. And I'd let, well, Rice catch sometimes. Listen, if Wells don't put it together sometime soon, and that's a serious conversation that they'll have to have. But it's, you know, can Ben Rice play catcher that well? You know, we've never seen it outside of, like I said, Double A. And how many games did he play at Triple A as catcher? So 10 games, you know, it was like something like minuscule. So I think that's the only reasonable thing to do. But then if Austin Wells starts hitting and he's, you know, then what do you do? Then you really, you know, are in a predicament.
Well, do the Yankees truly have a hole at third base? Because DJ LeMaitre is in Somerset ripping the cover off the ball right now.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to hear that name anymore.
Well, you're going to hear a lot of it because as soon as I think it's down to 18 days. It used to be 30. You used to have 30 days when a player started a rehab assignment to make a decision on him. And now it's down to 20. So after these 18 days are up, you're going to be hearing a lot of DJ LeMayu's name because he's going to be penciled in as the third baseman, which is unfortunate because not that I think Oswaldo Cabrera should be holding down that job every day, just because you're going to see a boring-ass old white guy with two bad feet clogging up the bases and hitting ground ball after ground ball after ground ball, and it's just going to be like, oh, my God, why? And you know what? I got to take my friggin' medicine because I wanted the Yankees to re-sign him. And this is what ended up happening. So, okay.
No,
I got.
Who didn't want them to re-sign him?
There was a big... I would say it was probably like at least 60-40 that wanted him versus didn't want him. So there was a lot more people that saw this coming. You know, Juice Bowls, Colorado, getting older. Okay, fine. You know what? You guys were right. So and then he just has not been able to stay on the field, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing, because it's you.
I don't know. You're gonna put Max Fried up there, who gets a lot of ground balls at third base. Feel confident.
This is the okay. Let's be fair here. The guy can play third base. He's a good defensive player. He just can't hit.
Yeah, he's getting old though. I don't have the faith in him. Not even defensively too much. I can see him getting burned. He can't. His knees hurt, and you know what I'm saying.
It's like, I wouldn't, if I'm coming at DJ, I'm not coming at him for the way he plays the position.
No, I think he plays good defense, but I just think he's. I could see it being an issue.
I listen, man. We're gonna, who know? Look, like I said, you know, we would debate constantly that DJ LeMahieu can't be in the opening day lineup, and always said, but he's not going to make it to opening day. Let's see him get through these next 18 days here with no problems.
Without pulling a hammy.
Breaking a toe.
Yeah.
Falling in a sewer. Something.
I don't know.
I'm not wishing.
Can it be worse?
I don't wish injury upon anybody. That's not what I'm doing. For anybody that thinks that. I'm just saying. Track record here. Look at it. In terms of DJ LeMahieu's health.
Yeah, I mean, he's been hurt every year for the past, what, 2-3 years?
Pretty much since he re-signed.
Yeah.
He's dealt with something.
Yeah. It's been his toe, right? Was that his first injury? Was his toe?
I can't keep up with everything. He's had a lot of foot stuff.
How old is he?
Some guys are into that, though. I don't know if you know that. Some guys are into that.
Into foot stuff?
Yeah.
Sure. That's gross.
He had a hip impingement last year. Remember the old hip impingement when apparently they wanted to DFA him and Judge said no? Just
no.
Make up something?
He's 36 years old.
Yeah, great. He looks like he's 66 years old, the way he walks around out there.
Well, that's why I'm saying, when you look at him, I mean, the injuries that he's had, I know defensively he was always good for us, but I can't see that keeping up. Just because he was doesn't mean he will be. And the injuries that he's had over and over again, I don't have the faith in him to be the defensive player that he still is. Again, not that I have a personal thing with DJ LeMahieu. I was very excited when he came up here. I think we all liked him. I was wearing a DJ Machine shirt the other day. I like that shirt. You know, but, you know, do I want him on my baseball team now? Not in the slightest.
I'm going to give everybody a second to take a breath here, because you might not like me in the next minute. Okay, so everybody just take a deep breath. You know, Cena versus Cody was the main event of WrestleMania. We've been saving this for the end here. This is the big story, the big blow off here. Okay. Everybody live on NYYU that can see me. Now, I want you guys to understand something. This doesn't come from a place of hate. This doesn't come from, you know, me rooting against the kid. This is just coming from facts and the way I feel. Because I'm going to show you all something right here. Okay? You all can see this right now on my camera. This is the Topps Now card from Anthony Volpe's first major league home run. You and I were there for that game.
Yes.
This is a baseball that I purchased from Yankee Stadium that was game used in this very same game. I have 4 pieces of memorabilia on this desk that I record at. Okay. One of them, I'll show them all to you right now. It's a little show and tell. My wife had this made for me. Okay. I love it. Thank you, wife. I think it was my Father's Day gift last year, okay? So I'm doing this for a reason, okay? So let's see what's on this desk, and then Anthony Volpe's here as well. Who is this? This is Gerrit Cole. You all know how I feel about Gerrit Cole. Who's this? It's Rocky Balboa. Anthony Volpe is situated in between Gerrit Cole and Rocky Balboa on my desk. Is there more prime position in my fandom, in my collectibles, than in between Gerrit Cole and Rocky Balboa? Is there a more prime position than that?
Prime real estate.
Okay. So this is not coming from a place of hate. Or me wanting to see Anthony Volpe fail. This is coming from a place that now we are 2+ years into. Right? We are 2+ years into this. The New York Yankees have a big problem at shortstop, and his name is Anthony Volpe. And I'm not putting all this on Anthony Volpe. Part of this has to do with the way the Yankees marketed Anthony Volpe. When the Yankees drafted Anthony Volpe, the Yankees wanted a story, a marketing opportunity, just as much as they wanted a shortstop. The Yankees took the kid from New Jersey. The Yankees took the kid that was at the 2009 World Series. The Yankees took the kid that got a picture with Derek Jeter. The Yankees wanted to sell you that. They wanted to sell you the homegrown kid, not just the homegrown kid in terms of he came up through the organization. We drafted him literally homegrown in New Jersey, 20 minutes from Yankee Stadium. They wanted to sell you that as the next cornerstone of their franchise. And honestly, I can't blame them for that, because baseball is about business just as much as it is winning games on the field. I can't fault them for that. But what we have here is a problem, because Anthony Volpe cannot live up to the hype that the New York Yankees put behind him. He has been proving time and time again that he cannot consistently hit major league pitching. And I am sick and tired of not watching Anthony Volpe play baseball, because I'm not saying that right now. What I am sick and tired of is watching fans do mental gymnastics to try to defend Anthony Volpe. Well, he's just a below average hitter, but he plays a really good shortstop. Hey, let me tell you something right now. Below average hitters that play really good shortstop don't get to be on the poster next to Aaron Judge. They don't get to be a franchise cornerstone. Guess what? The Yankees told you Anthony Volpe was a franchise cornerstone. He wasn't brought up here to fill a role being a 7 or 8 hitter in a lineup. He was brought here to be a star and a big one. And this guy consistently fails at being not even an average major league hitter, at a below average major league hitter. He is terrible. You've watched Anthony Volpe now for the last week swing through fastball after fastball after fastball, not dotted on the corner, not high, not right down the middle. We are now 2+ years, 2 years and a month into Anthony Volpe's major league career, and major league pitchers have figured out you don't have to be afraid of Anthony Volpe. You don't have to trick him. You just got to come right at him and challenge him. He can't hit your fastball. And it's not even elite fastballs. 94 down the middle, he can't touch this week. And we all sat here and we said, oh boy, these torpedo bats, maybe this is the thing that gets Volpe going. Dude, you can swing a Scud missile out there if you want to. If you can't catch up to the fastball, what does it matter? The New York Yankees are looking themselves in the mirror right now, and they seriously have to be questioning, can this kid do this for another 10 years? Because the way he consistently bats and he steps up the home plate, if you are really being honest with yourself, you have to have the most serious doubts about whether Anthony Volpe is even going to be in the league in 2 years, let alone be a franchise cornerstone. And I saw some, and you want to talk about mental gymnastics? Somebody compared him to Ozzie Smith today. Oh, Ozzie Smith's OPS plus in his career was 90, and Anthony Volpe's is 80-something. What are we doing here? It is okay to criticize Anthony Volpe. I just showed you the show and tell of where he sits on this desk. If I hated him, you'd think his stuff would be on this desk right now? Come on, guys. It is okay to criticize Anthony Volpe. It's okay to criticize the organization for maybe not taking a better player because they wanted to sell you this story. It doesn't mean you hate Anthony Volpe. It means you expect more out of Anthony Volpe, and you expect the Yankees to be smarter when making draft picks than going for a story in the first round. This kid was hyped up to be a generational-type talent, okay? He wasn't hyped up of being, you know, this is not Oswaldo Cabrera coming up through the system. He's closer to what the Yankees want you to think Derek Jeter was coming up through the system. It doesn't make you any less of a fan to call out his play on the field, and it doesn't make you call any less of a fan to call out the Yankees, okay? We are at a point now where we are a month into year three, and I have not seen the improvements that I need to see from Anthony Volpe to feel confident from him that he can do this for the next 10 years. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We said, okay, this is great that Anthony Volpe's getting off to the start right now, and he really needed it to come out here and show us that he can be the guy. Do you know what the Yankees hit the road on April 4th after that opening homestand? Do you want to know what Anthony Volpe's done since then in 19 games?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Anthony Volpe's hitting 194 with an OPS of 572. You want to know why? Because that's who Anthony Volpe is. Anthony Volpe is a guy that gets hot for a week or two. He dangles the carrot. I can do this. I'm going to entice you guys. I'm going to make you fall in love with me again. And then a month in the shitter, which is what he's doing right now. He had the great homestand, made you think that this was going to be the year, and right back in the toilet. And why did I feel good about Anthony Volpe coming into this season? Because of the way Anthony Volpe played in the postseason. But that could have just been his three-week heater. And if the season went on another month, right back into the toilet, because that's what we see now to Anthony Volpe. I'm not rooting against him. I pray to God that this kid is the story and the player that the New York Yankees want him to be, because that's what this team needs to get to the next level. They need Anthony Volpe to be a guy that gets on base 35% of the time, hits 25 home runs, steals 40 bags. Be that guy. What has he done to show you that he can be that guy? Every time I post something negative about Anthony Volpe, oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. What in 2 years plus this month has shown you that Anthony Volpe will be fine? If you take out October of last year, there's not a goddamn thing that Anthony Volpe has done on the major league field that you can sit there and tell us that he will be fine. Great. He showed up in October. A lot of other guys don't. So congratulations to him. But day in and day out for 162 days, tell me what Anthony Volpe has done that shows you he will be fine. And do not tell me he plays a gold glove shortstop, because there's a lot of guys out there that can hit 210 and have an OPS in the 600s and play gold glove shortstop and aren't pushed to the moon like he's John Cena going for a record-breaking world championship, okay? Because that's who the Yankees want you to think he is. Not some Hammond Ager getting beat by, you know, Brock Lesnar in 2 minutes. They want you to think he is their John Cena, the golden boy, the guy they want on the posters selling the merch. So tell me what he's done in the last 2 years that he deserves to be that guy.
I mean, listen, I was there for his very first game. You had to see people clawing and climbing. There was somebody on a ladder, and I thought he was going to fall off it. The pandemonium it was getting an Anthony Volpe jersey at that stadium store. It was insane. I've never seen anything like that. It was worse than Black Friday shopping. I really thought somebody was going to get hurt. Everybody wanted a piece of Volpe. He's done shit. You know, like, I made a joke the other day. I was talking about this. There's not enough chicken parm in the world to fix what Anthony Volpe has got going on. Yesterday, he has 5 at-bats, 4 strikeouts. Everything, it's swing and miss with him. It's atrocious. He's swinging so hard. He's trying to cream the ball. The ball's flying out of it. The bat's flying out of his hands. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing's changing with him. He's doing the same shit day in, day out. And then, you know, what really got me the other day is like, you know, I was like, oh, his defense. But, you know, he's diving for a ball and he's throwing it at to go Paul Goldschmidt, who has to go up and reach for it, which easily could have been an easy error. Could have went in towards the dugout, into the dugout, and they could have gave up some runs. Now he's overcompensating there, and he's trying to make these ridiculous plays. It's showing that he's frustrated. He's knowing that he's having problems, and he's trying to overcompensate by making these spectacular highlight reel plays. But he just needs to play baseball. Go back to the beginning. You don't need to be great right now, and just start hitting the friggin' ball. He's not adding anything to the team right now other than K's. You're striking out. Dude, like, the other day they came up, there was no outs. How many runner on second and third? Chisholm came up, strikes out. Okay. Just hit the friggin' ball. Volpe does the same thing, strike out. Now you put up Wells there, who's also having struggles. But now it's not even a sack fly situation anymore. Like, these guys are not hitting when they need to hit. They're not pulling their own weight. They're not adding anything to it. Yeah, okay, cool. Volpe picks up this ball, throws it over, you know. But then he's having, like, errors. So it's not gold glove defense anymore. There's more than just offensive problems going on with Anthony Volpe. It's becoming defensive. I don't hate Anthony Volpe. When I walk into my room, I have a signed Anthony Volpe ball. It's one of the last things I look at before I go to sleep every night, because it's right by my light switch. I was big into Anthony Volpe too. I mean, if you collect baseballs and you belong baseball cards, you belong to baseball groups, people were going absolutely batshit crazy for his rookie card. Anything signed by him was more valuable than gold. He's not worth anything. And it is a problem. What's going to end up happening is you're going to end up seeing George Lombard Jr. being brought up now sooner than later. And then what happens with Anthony Volpe? This is why you don't go out and buy jerseys that have people's names on it. Because if you bought an 11 jersey, oh, you know what I'm saying? I got a Guardy jersey. He's a offensive liability, and to me, from what I'm watching him play, with him trying to overcompensate, he's becoming a defensive liability at the same time.
Let's get a couple of super chats here from Ra. First up, Ra, what's up, my brother? He says, here's the truth. Last year, Volpe had an OPS 1371 in March, 812 in May. The other 5 months, they were all under 700. He looks like a stopgap player. Yankees give him too much rope. Old Sarge, what's up, Old Sarge? Away from the Yanks, Volpe would be turned into a second baseman and with instructions to hit gap to gap, use his speed, become a 280 hitter, and all-star. Yanks messed him up. You know, there's a couple interesting things there that Ross said. They give him too much rope. They do. They play him every day. Does he deserve to play every day?
No.
Look at what they do with Jason Dominguez. Does Jason Dominguez play every day? Did Clint Frazier play every day? You know, when Miguel Andujar got hurt, they threw him away like he was a bag of garbage.
And you got Peraza sitting on the bench who can play shortstop.
I got to wet the whistle. Hold on a second.
Wet that whistle. But if you got Peraza sitting there, sitting on the bench, what's the difference if you don't play Volpe for one game and play Peraza instead? Volpe needs to learn that he does not have that position. It's, you know, it's cemented for him. He needs to realize it's his position to lose. If you have a guy like Peraza, put him in. If he doesn't hit the ball, he doesn't hit the ball. Volpe's not hitting the ball. So offensively, putting Peraza in over Volpe it's a no-brainer. Defensively, I think Peraza is a better shortstop than Volpe. Everyday play, put him in there, see what he's got. But Volpe needs to understand that, listen, either shit or get off the pot here, or else we don't need you. And that's one of the problems. He's the golden child. He's supposed to be what he's supposed to be. He's not. He's like a PR nightmare. I can only imagine like what people are doing when he gets up the bat. There's got to be people like going nuts in the Yankee offices.
When I had a conversation with somebody earlier today, he's a big Yankee fan that I see on my route, and he said they got to do something with Volpe, man. They got to send him down. I was like, come on, guy. You're a big enough fan, and we have enough conversations that I know that he knows what he's talking about. You really think the Yankees are going to send down Anthony Volpe? Or he said, well, maybe not send him down, but bench him. I was like, they'll never do that. You think that stubborn ass organization is going to admit failure on Anthony Volpe? You think they're going to go down that road where they bench him and tell you we were wrong? Never. Never. Anthony Volpe could kidnap every member of Brian Cashman's and Hal Steinbrenner's family and sell them, you know, overseas to be like, you know, like a Russian army, you know, in the gulag over there, whatever the hell happens. And he'd still be in a shortstop. The Yankees are not admitting failure on this. You want to know how far back this reaches? Rob brought up, he looks like a stopgap. In a year where Aaron Judge sets the American League record for home runs, wins an MVP, we're trying to win a World Series. We still got a healthy Gerrit Cole. We had a stopgap at shortstop because of Anthony Volpe. We endured IKF. The IKF experience is because of Anthony Volpe. That happened because the Yankees wanted Anthony Volpe so desperately. Remember when you were a teenager and you knew a girl was out of your league, but you tried everything to get her to notice you?
No, because none were out of my league.
Yeah, okay. The Yankees looked at Anthony Volpe as that girl. That's what they did. The problem is that Anthony Volpe is not a... He is a 10. A 10 as in, that's what he hits.
How many hits
he gets in a month? 10.
Yeah.
You want to know all the anxiety and angst in the... That pit of your stomach feeling you had when you saw Juan Soto sign with the Mets and this whole offseason that happened and you falling in love with Juan Soto and him leaving. And now you're like, we could have had Michael King and all that. Guess why that happened? It happened because of Anthony Volpe. Well, wait a second. Yeah, Juan Soto's an outfielder. Anthony Volpe's a shortstop. The Yankees stayed out of the shortstop class with Corey Seager. For Anthony Volpe. The Yankees could have signed Corey Seager. Gave him enough money. Guess what you don't need after 2023? You don't need a left-handed hitter because you have Corey Seager. Becomes a lot more palatable not to give up Michael King and Drew Thorpe in a deal for 1 year Juan Soto when you have Corey Seager. But the Yankees didn't do that because of Anthony Volpe. So, yes, this is about the player not living up to his expectations. But it's also about the organization placing those expectations on Anthony Volpe. If Anthony Volpe was an 18-year-old shortstop from Alabama that couldn't pick Derek Jeter up out of a lineup, he'd be in Scranton bussing tables right now. But because Anthony Volpe went to Del Barton High School and grew up in New Jersey and was at the parade and met Derek Jeter, we are stuck with him. And I pray for the day that I can come on here and he's hitting .310 and leading the Yankees into the playoffs and is every bit the player that the New York Yankees sold us on. And I can sit here and say, Jesus, man, when I came on here on 424 and nearly dropped dead screaming about him and lost my voice, boy, I couldn't be more wrong. But please tell me the evidence that has shown you that for more than a 2 or 3 week stretch, Anthony Volpe is the type of hitter that can be a guy that lasts as a Yankee shortstop for the next 10 years.
Anthony Volpe in the MLB is the equivalent of your father taking you to the deep end of the swimming pool without swimmies, shoving you in and saying, figure it out. And then he drowns, because that's exactly what's going to happen. He's not going to have that immaculate turnaround. I hope he does. I mean, like, I hope we're all very surprised. I don't see it happening. I mean, I open up any social media on my phone, everything's geared towards baseball, and swipe, swipe, swipe. Every second or third video is Anthony Volpe's a problem. Anthony Volpe's a problem. Everybody knows it. It's the elephant in the room, more so than Jazz. He is a problem because he's supposed to be one of the faces of the franchise. Like, we're both kids from Jersey. We both like baseball. Obviously, we want Anthony Volpe to do good just because of the Jersey thing. He could be on the Mets. He could be on the Red Sox. He could be anywhere. I would want Anthony Volpe to do good just because he's from not far from us. I don't see it happening. And it sucks.
Yeah, and now it seems like the people are starting to get on this Volpe train, which I've been telling you all offseason. I'm not saying I had it first or, you know, this is some original thought. But we're going into year three. This is the year he's got to prove that he belongs in the conversation with Gunnar Henderson, who was drafted after him. Or, you know, Bobby Witt was the number two overall pick. Great. Yeah, he's one of the top 10, five players, best players in the league. But guess what the Yankees were trying to tell you Anthony Volpe was? That caliber of player. Guess who was not supposed to be? I would have told you, Jesus, because I get, you know, this is what my baseball reference sucks, just because his name ends in an H and not a K. You can't tell me who it is. Well, it's not really the year to do it, but I mean, Zach Neto had an OPS plus a 112 last year, an 86 the year before. So he came up the same year as Anthony Volpe. I mean, did you ever think that you'd be talking about Zach Neto, however you say his name, being statistically better through his first 2 years than Anthony Volpe? Because that's what we're talking about right now. Zach Neto last year had a 5.1 WAR, 23 home runs, 77 runs batted in, 30 steals, 249 batting average, 761 OPS in year two. Here's Anthony Volpe in year two. Wouldn't you love to? Tell me who you'd rather have. Here's Anthony Volpe in year two. 3.4 WAR, 12 home runs, 60 runs batted in, 28 stolen bases, 243 average, 657 OPS. Tell me who was the better player last year. Came up in the same year. Do you guys not see the problem here? Again, if the Yankees were telling you that this was just like Oswaldo Cabrera, some nice player come up, you'd live with all of this. You really would. I'm sure people would be screaming their heads off to get him out of the lineup. But when you want to sell the fans a story, when you pick the apple of your eye and tell everybody the holy trinity of the Yankees is supposed to be Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole, and Anthony Volpe, he's got to do it on the field to prove to everybody he belongs up there. And he's done absolutely nothing to prove that he belongs up there. And now that we're past that first week of the season, the kid is hitting under 200. The OPS is in the 500s, and he's doing the exact same thing he does every year. He gets you a little bit wet, and then he stops. He gets you all excited, and then it just goes nowhere. And you're left like, what the hell just happened here? Is that who Anthony Volpe is? because I'm going to tell you right now, him being a 210 hitter that has an OPS plus around 85, you know, maybe he'll steal you 20 bags and knock in 50 or 60 runs is not good enough. That's not good enough if he was Oswaldo Cabrera to be an everyday player in this league. That's what the problem is. You look at Anthony Volpe's numbers, and you tell me what everyday player is in the league posting these types of numbers. And tell me the fan base that is okay with them posting those types of numbers. But I'm not a real fan because I just spent the last 20 minutes telling you, talking about this. I should go do something else. We can't talk about the Italian prince. Guess what? Anthony Volpe deserves every bit of criticism that comes his way. And again, I'll end it on saying this because I don't want to say it another time. It's not all his fault. The Yankees wanted to make him a story. They wanted to market him. What's better than the homegrown kid? We all love Aaron Judge, right? Do you think the Yankees wish that he was from Yonkers instead of Linden, California? We all love Gerrit Cole, right? Do you think that he grew up a Yankee fan, right? He's from California. Don't you think the Yankees would have loved it if Gerrit Cole was from New Jersey, grew up a Jersey boy? The kid comes home. Boy, I could have seen the fucking T-shirts now after Gerrit Cole came back home to if he was from New Jersey, because they tried to – remember how hard they pushed that with him at the World Series in 2001? It's a business just as much as it is about winning games on the field. The Yankees know that. The Yankees are as good at that as anybody. That's why we're stuck with Anthony Volpe. Because it's almost not about what he does on the field. It's about them praying that they can sell you a story, sell you the jerseys, sell you the T-shirts, sell you the baseball cards. Because you're a Yankee fan. Kid's from New Jersey. I don't give a shit if he was from Mars. Hit.
Well said. If he don't hit, we don't need him. And that's the simplest way to put it.
So that should wrap up everything here because my voice is going. So I want to thank everybody that's been in the chat tonight. You guys are awesome. We miss being on the U. We'll be back next week, I believe, on May 1st. If I look at my schedule here. excuse me. I don't mean to grunt like that in the microphone, but we will have a show in between us being back on the U. We will be recording after the game on Sunday, so if you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, you can catch us on Monday morning, and then we'll be back on the U live on May 1st, Thursday night. So we want to just give you everybody an idea of what's going on here, because you guys are awesome. We love being live here on NYYU. You guys are the best. And we want to thank you for your continued support. And if you're in the chat tonight, please like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. And like I said, please subscribe to NYYSD Podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss any of our shows throughout the course of the season. And like I said, open up the window. It's nice out. Bang. NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Scream it to all your neighbors. We want to thank everybody for listening and watching episode 459. Sem, say goodbye.
See ya.
We got a nurse.
We got it.
It's how you finesse. We come for their nurse. We come to collect. Did it all on my own, yeah. When it brought it back home, yeah. Now they calling my phone, yeah. But I'm all in my zone. They not a threat.
They not a
tell them reset. When they at they best. We still not impressed. Did it all on my own, yeah. Went and brought it back home, yeah. Bought a watch with the stones, yeah. Caught them watching my throne, yeah. Ain't no one doing the shit that we doing. Ain't nobody.